I have the privilege to introduce our guest speaker today. Dimitra Barrios is the pastor of Legacy Church Brooklyn, and it has been the privilege of our church to be able to partner with her and her family and Legacy because of what she is doing in her heart for Brooklyn and her heart for New York City. This woman is a prayer warrior. She has organized prayer around revival, and she has tirelessly encouraged and pushed people to not give up, but to persevere in prayer. She's an incredible mom. She's an incredible pastor. And she has a prophetic word and voice that we need to hear today, and we need to hear more often. And so I want everyone here to give a warm welcome to Dimitra Barrios. So normally when we have a guest speaker, I would lay hands on her and pray. But you know, hey, COVID. So what we're going to do is I'm going to ask you to extend your hand, and we're going to be praying a blessing over her and over her word today. And so let's pray for Dimitra before she delivers God's word to us. Father, we praise you for this woman that you have called to be your daughter, to call to be your mouthpiece, that you have equipped her with a love for you and your word. And we thank you that you've given her a specific word for us today. And we ask that you would let her surrender that word to you so that you, Holy Spirit, speak through her, that we might receive truth and life because of what she has to say today. So this revival that she's praying for, I ask, Holy Spirit, let your fire fall on her and let it come through her to us and to all who hear her voice. So we praise your name, and we want to hear your voice today through her. We thank you for her. We praise in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Logan. How do you not hug Logan after that introduction? I hate COVID, along with everyone else. Good morning. Firstly, good morning, ladies. I'm so excited to be delivering this word to you. Good morning to LMCC. We also have Legacy joining us. We stopped everything we were doing there and told them just to come over here so that we can worship together. I cannot tell you how proud I am to be here, to see my brother Logan, have all of you together here in the midst of a pandemic to remind us that God is faithful, that God is moving, and that it's only the beginning. God is doing something that we have not even touched the surface of. And I'm just so grateful to be a part of it. So thank you for joining in. Ladies, if you're in the house and you've been a part of the retreat, can I just get a little bit of a, come on, a clap? See, that's the energy from our weekend. We started off hearing from Miss Shanika Hart, who told us that we are giants. That we are giants, no matter what it is that we face, we have to remember that. We were told also by Genevieve that we can be a fool for Jesus because Jesus is a fool for us. We were told by Miss C that we are loved and that God has a desire to keep drawing near and near to us. And we were told by Kara that we are part of a remnant, that we are powerful women and we are a force to be reckoned with. And we were told by Marcy that we are the storm. So every time the enemy comes and he tries to remind us of how small we are because we think we're that small, we have to tell him we're the storm. We're powerful and even more powerful than he is. So after hearing all that, I was ready to drop the mic because all the ladies did it and I was thinking, we're done. How could I say anything on top of that? It was perfect. But I felt like God was telling me, he wanted me to give you a blessing. Often at the end of something, you get a blessing, but also in the beginning of something, you get a blessing. And I felt like God was saying, this is going to be the beginning of something amazing. So tell the women to get ready. But not only that, tell the church to get ready and the men to get ready because the women are going to overflow into those places. So I'm grateful to be able to deliver this word to you. And I ask that you would join me in prayer before I begin. So please pray with me. Holy God, we thank you for this opportunity. God, where two or three are gathered, your promise is that you would be there in the midst. That not only would your name be powerful, but your presence would be powerful. So I pray right now, God, that we have your presence felt. Oftentimes, God, we know you're in a room. We know you're going to be at church. But that doesn't mean that we feel it with our whole being. God, we don't want to compartmentalize this experience with you. We want you to show us your presence, to make your presence known. And we want to feel it with every fiber of our body. Lord, there are so many women right now who made sacrifices to be at this retreat. They got babysitters. They closed the doors. Some of them are probably in their bathrooms, in their closets, whatever they can do just to have a moment of silence with you. God, we're asking in those particular places that your presence be made known even more, to remind them that the church is not a building, but the church is a people, a body. So we pray right now, God, that every place where a woman is becomes your sanctuary, that they feel you from the tip of their toes to the top of their head. God, as always, I ask that I decrease and you increase in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. So when God told me, ladies, that he wanted to give you a blessing, I said to myself, perfect. I know some pretty good blessings in the Bible. And I went to number 6. And maybe you know this scripture. It's also a really cool song right now that you probably even sang in worship. But it says, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May he shine his face upon you and be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and give you peace. And I remember hearing that and thinking, that's the thing to preach on, God. Let's do it. And he told me, not quite. I want you to give them another blessing. A blessing they might not expect, but it's a message that they need to hear because this is the time to reap a harvest. And I said, okay, God, what is it? And here's the words he imprinted on my heart. The blessing is, may you hunger and thirst for righteousness. So if you hear that, you might feel comfortable with it. But for me, ladies, I went back to God and said, that doesn't really sound like the kind of blessing I want to give people. I like number 6. It sounds a lot more smooth, and it doesn't sound as uncomfortable to hunger and thirst. But God continued to tell me that this is the word. May we hunger and thirst for righteousness. See, this is the scripture that this blessing comes from. It comes from Matthew 5:6. And it says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness because they will be filled. That's the promise. See, when you just hear hunger and thirst, you think that's a very uncomfortable place to be. But the promise is that those who hunger and thirst won't just stay hungry and thirsty. They will be filled. They will be filled. So then I said, well, God, I like that a lot better because I don't want to be hungry and thirsty. I want to be filled. But he's reminding us of the journey. Often we want to be filled with God's presence because that's when we are at our greatest potential. We are able to do things that we cannot imagine in our own minds. But in order to get there, Jesus was telling this to the disciples, to all the people who were listening, you have to maintain a hunger and a thirst. And the good news about Jesus is he didn't just say, stay hungry and thirsty and you'll be full. He told them where they could go. He told them the source of nutrients, that himself was the bread of life, that he was living water, so that there would be no confusion about how you go to become full. And this is why Jesus said you would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And when we hear righteousness, we're like, yeah, that's a really fancy Christian word. But what it means is hunger and thirst to be more like Jesus. That's what righteousness is, to be more like Jesus. So he's telling his disciples, he's telling us, listen, if you want the promises that I'm giving you, you must stay hungry and you must stay thirsty. And get this, it's a blessing to be in that posture. But let's be honest. There are not a lot of us who like the sound of that blessing. And there's definitely not a lot of us who know how to live that out. In fact, a lot of us have this way of going about our relationship with God that's very passive. right? We go off of our feelings. If we feel like going to church today, if we feel like signing up for the women's retreat, if we feel like reading our Bible or staying up with our devotional, then we do it. But if we don't feel like doing it, then that's okay too. We find something else to entertain us, something else that will take the place of where God should be. We do that so many times, and God is asking us not to be passive with him, but to be proactive, but to wake up in the morning and say, God, how can I be closer to you today? To be in the middle of your day and your work week or in the middle of an hour and just say to yourself, God, how have I blessed you or praised you today? Before you go to sleep at night, to say to yourself, God, how can I look back and see where you were? Is there a moment where you were close and I missed it? How much time do we spend actually doing that? If we're honest, a lot of us are going to say we don't, that we just are more apathetic about our relationship with God. We want him to come close to us and not necessarily go close to him. See, and this is what God is telling us in this promise, that he doesn't want us again to be apathetic. Instead, he wants us to have an appetite. He wants us to be hungry. He wants us to be thirsty. He wants us to continue to look for him throughout the day. But there are a couple of camps that we can be in when it comes to this, this hunger and thirst and wanting to be more like Jesus. And on the one side, you can have no appetite at all, right? You're just not very hungry and thirsty for the spiritual things that God has given you. See, when you are hungry and thirsty in real life with your physical self, I'm no doctor, but I'm sure if you're hungry and thirsty, you go look for something to eat. You go look for something to drink. That's what you do. You take the time to actually go fill the need that you have. For some of us, there is no hunger and thirst for God. There's nothing that says you need more of him today. Have you not thought about your heart? Your day hasn't been going so well. When's the last time you acknowledged that God is with you? There's no indicator that's saying you need to focus on your heavenly Father. It's just not there. And for most of us, the enemy said that's because you're defective. There's something wrong with you. You don't have it right. There are so many people who are holy who get this, but you don't. See, that's the lie of the enemy, to make you think that you are somehow defective, but you are corrective. That means that whatever's wrong inside of you, God can turn it around and correct it and make it for his glory. So this not having an appetite doesn't mean that you are somehow wrong and you have been unfixed. You're in an unfixable place. But quite the opposite is true. God is inviting you to do something. And this is where it starts, right? If you know your body, you know that when you're hungry again, you are told to get something to eat or drink. The thing that tells you that is your brain. Your brain is wired to say, this is what our body needs. So the same thing works in your spiritual life. When you are hungry and thirsty for God, your brain needs to tell you that. However, the scripture also tells us, do not be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, this is the promise, that you can worship God in your heart and you can have him here, but you cannot take your old faulty thinking with you. And a lot of the time the devil is saying, oh, you're not really saved. If you were, you wouldn't be living this type of life. But Jesus is in your heart. You said, I do to him. That was your promise. But your mind hasn't transformed. So this is a little bit of kingdom mathematics, how things work in heaven. If your brain is telling you that you are not hungry or thirsty for more of God, that equals that you are conforming to the patterns of this world. You are still thinking that more money will be the thing that makes you full. Another job opportunity would be the thing that makes you full. Another relationship that you can get in, that would be the thing that makes you full. You're continuing to think of the patterns of this world. And this is the good news, that God is saying, if you're conforming, there is a plan for that. You can be transformed instead. And I want you to think about transformation, about something that crawls on the ground like a caterpillar, becoming a butterfly that flies in the sky. Transformation is metamorphosis. That means it's no longer recognizable. So your thoughts from your old self, when you accepted Jesus into your life, are not supposed to be a normal part of your evolution with God. You're supposed to be continuing to grow in your thought life, and God is supposed to be transforming it. This is why I love that this particular retreat is called the boot camp, because it helps you understand that you need to train your brain. This is not something that just comes easily or something that comes passively. You have to be proactive. In fact, the scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 10:5. It says, take every thought captive. And ladies, I'm going to be honest. Sometimes we're good at that part. We can take a thought and say, oh no, that's not from God. Oh no, I'm not supposed to do that today. I'm supposed to do something else. But we miss the second part of the scripture where it says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. That means you take that lie, but then you make it a truth. You turn it into something, a promise that God has spoken over you. See, this is the boot camp. That's what it's called, because we have to train ourselves to be hungry and thirsty. And if you want to have this holy desire where you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you must ask God to renew your mind. But that's if you have no appetite. That's just some of us. There's some of us in another camp that have a loss of appetite. We just aren't really hungry and thirsty anymore. Maybe in the beginning, we were really hungry and thirsty in our relationship with God, or in a new season of our relationship. We just felt so in love with him, and we sought after him in the day. We sought after him at night. But then somehow along the way, we lost that appetite. I remember loving salted caramel things. Everybody remembers that season where salted caramel just became a thing. And I remember wanting it on everything once I tasted it. Like, I want it on tea, I want it in coffee, put it on a pretzel. I'm going to have that thing, and it's going to be so good. And then I remember getting really tired of it. Like, when I sit across this salted caramel, it doesn't taste as good as it did in the beginning. It's not that it's bad, but I'm losing my appetite for this. That's the same thing with God. See, we get excited and we want it and we get it. And then after a while, if it doesn't meet our demands, if it doesn't hit the desire the way we expected it to, we lose our appetite and we kind of turn it away. And that's what happens oftentimes where God is trying to come into our lives. He's trying to change us and transform us. And we're thinking, I lost my appetite with this. And the word specifically I got from God is, it's not that God just deserted you. That's not the feeling you're getting when you get the loss of appetite, that he just left you stranded someplace. It's different. It's that he disappointed you. See, that's what disappointment is, right? You imagine it to be something, and then when you get it, it's not. And you're disappointed. God promised you some things and you haven't seen it yet. This is happening so much in our churches because of the pandemic. We're angry, we're upset at God, and we say, God, you told us to get closer to you only to call us apart? How could this be? How could you continue to tell us to want these things and then have it be in your care that we can no longer meet face to face without masks? We get this loss of appetite. This appetite that says, I'm just turned away. I want to say to all of those people that I understand that pain. I understand what it feels like to pray to God for something and not see it with your eyes. I know what it's like to cry about it, to get mad at God about it, to push people away because of it. I know that feeling. But this is the word that God gave me, and perhaps it would bless you, that in order to get to the promise, sometimes you have to go through pain. Sometimes God is calling you to a certain territory or destination, but the issue is that you have to go through some suffering to get to that place. Isn't that what it feels like when you're hungry sometimes? And you can't get to your lunch and your breakfast. It feels like you're suffering. You can't get to where you're supposed to get, but I want you to think about these words. Suffering, in suffering, there is always an opportunity for sanctification. Every time you're in a place where you are suffering and you are feeling so far apart from God, that is an opportunity to look more like Him. I want you to think about the cross, the ultimate suffering. When Jesus endured the cross, He was glorified. It was through the cross that He got to the promise for us to have eternal salvation. That's what He said. So I want you to think about that for a minute if that's you. If you're having this loss of appetite, would you be able to embrace that perhaps this pain has a purpose? It's not punishment, but there's a purpose. And God wants to use it for His glory, and He wants to use it for His good. See, this is what it feels like to worship God. When you're asking to be hungry and thirsty, you can end up on those two camps where you just don't have an appetite and you've been asking, but your brain is not transformed, or you have that loss of appetite because you've had enough. God disappointed you. But here is where we are supposed to be. We are supposed to be praying. This is the third camp, for God to expand our appetite. What a bold prayer to ask Him to be more hungry and more thirsty. See, this is the posture we're supposed to have, but often we go to God as orphans, and we expect an orphan's reward. If you Google search orphans, you see young people, people who are vulnerable, children who are dirty. They don't have everything they need, and they have their hands open for just a person to flick them a coin. Change that falls on the ground, they'd be willing to pick that up on their knees. We go to God with that posture. God, I'm an orphan. If you want to sort of kind of bless me, please do. But if you don't want to, that's okay. That's not the posture God wants us to have. He wants us to know that we are children. We are not orphans. We are sons and daughters of a Most High God. We are here on this earth so that we can have an inheritance with our Father. We are supposed to, as sisters, open our hands and say, God, don't just give me a little. Give me your abundance. God promises a table before your enemies. That table is not bare. That table has a feast on it. And you are the person that is in the seat of honor. That's your table, your feast. So ladies, when you think about that, I want you to ask yourself, am I ready for this expansion of my appetite? Because you've learned a lot this weekend. God spoke a lot of truth to you. We got practical and we talked about how we could do this here and now. But are we ready to pray that bold prayer that we hunger and thirst for righteousness, that we don't get content with this and just say, great, that was a great weekend and stop there? That's not what God is calling us to. He's asking for this new ceiling to be the new ground. If we reached a new level, good job, because now God is going to use that as the surface in which He builds upon. That's the attitude we have to have, because this is a promise. This is not something that Jesus is saying may happen. No, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be filled. But here's what happens, ladies. We will often seek after hunger and thirst, if we sign up for that, in isolation. And not only just individual isolation. I want to challenge you even more. We do that in our churches, just our church ladies in isolation. See, God is not calling us to do this in our own churches. He's not calling us to do this all alone. He's calling us to do this as a kingdom. That means all churches coming together, all women coming together, no matter what race you are, socioeconomic background you have, no matter what t-shirt you have that says your church on it, you are called to be a part of a kingdom, which means we need each other. See, Proverbs 27:17 says something that Legacy does not get tired of saying. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. So one sister sharpens another. So one church sharpens another. And that's the call that God placed on us. That we are supposed to be sharpening one another. And I see this in my house almost every day, where I need to sharpen my children. I have a daughter who's going to be 13, October 25th, next Sunday. I have a son who is 11. And my son loves Fortnite, and my daughter loves TikTok. And if I let them play, you know, these TikTok is not a game, but if I let her watch TikTok and I let him play Fortnite over and over again, they will forget basic things. Like they're hungry, like they have to go to the bathroom. The most basic things, I have to stop them and say, hey, I know you're really having fun with what you're doing, but when's the last time you ate something? When's the last time you took a break? When's the last time you said to yourself, I need to stop doing this and think about something else other than what I'm doing in this moment? See, this is what God is telling us to do in sharpening, where you can grab your sister and say, when's the last time you've been to small group? I haven't seen you in a while. When's the last time you signed up to pray? I loved hearing your voice. When's the last time that you called me? Remember when you would call me and share with me what's going on in your heart? And we would pray after that and talk and figure out ways to plan together. This is what it means, is iron sharpens iron, so one sister sharpens another. So one church sharpens another. What if we took that passage seriously? And we said, hey, I want to help you find the food you're looking for. I want to help you find that water that I see that you need. There's a person in scripture that I want us to get a visual of before I really say this blessing over you, because I'm not going to leave until I do what God tells me to do. So I want to pray this over you. I want to bless you with it. But I want you to have a visual, because often the enemy tries to hijack our imagination. So I don't want him to do that, because if you're going to be hungry and thirsty, this needs to belong to him, right? Your mind needs to be transformed. So I want you to have this visual in Genesis 32. And it's just the story of Jacob. And Jacob, if you know Jacob at all, is a man who is not perfect. Like, Jacob made some pretty big mistakes, and mostly it was about receiving God's blessing. He wanted God's blessing so, so bad. In fact, he like manhandled his own blessings. Like, he made them happen. He didn't wait around for God to do his part. Jacob said, I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to manipulate whoever I can. I'm going to do whatever it is that I need to do to get this blessing. But what he did not know was when he was being born, God spoke a blessing over him and his brother. And he said his brother's name was Esau. And it said in this blessing that Esau would serve Jacob. But here's the problem with that, okay, ladies? There was not supposed to be an older brother serving a younger brother. That wasn't what it was supposed to be. It was supposed to be like this normal hierarchy where the younger one served the older. But God knew this before he was even brought into the earth, that he would be the one that would receive the blessing. And he couldn't accept that as truth. He wasn't really that hungry or thirsty. He felt like he had to take matters into his own hands because he didn't see things the way he thought he would. But God had already said the promise. So Jacob got really tired of himself. Man, I wish we could get tired of ourselves and say, God, I'm so tired of making the same mistake. Because honestly, if you're not desperate for change, it won't happen. You have to get fed up with your thought life from the past. You got to get fed up with all the things that you've been through, the mistakes you've made. And you have to say to God, I need something new. Jacob was at that place. It was many years later, and he was tired, and he saw this man. Now, this is all we know, that it's a man. But Jacob knew something different about this man, because scripture says that he began to wrestle with this man. He just held on to him and wrestled with him. And it's clear that Jacob does not think this is a regular man. He believes that this is the presence of God. And it's clear that this is an angel. This is someone who is anointed, that has spiritual power. So Jacob is there realizing that I have let God walk away too many times. I have not followed him, and there he is walking and I'm behind him. I'm not going to let that happen now. I'm going to hold on to him. And this is what the man says, this holy being says. He says, let me go, for it is daybreak. And Jacob says, I'm not letting you go unless you bless me. I'm not letting you go unless I leave here different. This is the power of being hungry and thirsty, that you do not let go. And I don't want you to think of this like, you know, a boxing match where you can punch and move back. Wrestling is about being close. You're holding on to someone's legs, arms. You're connected in a way that you can't even untangle. This is what it looks like to hunger and thirst. And we will be in this place right now, receiving this blessing wherever you are. We're here, but honestly, church, I'm going to be honest. This is a decision of your will. You can walk away from this blessing. You can say to yourself, this sounds awesome, but not for me, not right now. I'm content where I am. Or you could do something that my brother Logan told me. You could not retreat. Because the kingdom of God does not retreat, it advances. So if something is telling you to give up, something's telling you you're tired, you're washed up, no, let's hear those words again. The kingdom of God does not retreat, it advances. God doesn't want you to let go of him. I want you, ladies, to remember who received their package from the retreat. There were some things in there from all the speakers. If you noticed, there is nothing in there from Legacy. You probably went through all of your things, but there is nothing there from Legacy. So I want you to think about this, because what I'm going to give you, this blessing, is not something you're going to be able to hold in your hands. What I'm giving you today is something that's happening in the spiritual realm where you cannot see. So here is what it requires: a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith that this is something I call a marker moment. A marker moment. If you've ever played a video game, you know how this works, or any app. You beat a level, you go to the next one, you beat another level, you keep going. Often, that's what we like to do, right? We stop at that level, and then we just build up. But sometimes we repeat levels. But that's your choice, right? You don't have to ever go back to that level again. You can keep going higher and higher and higher. And that's what God is asking you to do, to go higher. But in order to do that, you need to make this a marker moment and say to yourself, I refuse to settle for anything less than this. I refuse to settle for the little bit of change that orphans get. I refuse to settle for the lack of food and live in this place of scarcity. I refuse to settle for any water that's not living. I refuse to settle. This is your choice. And today you have to make this a marker moment. So what I'm asking you to do is visualize this in your imagination. This is your Ebenezer moment. Things are not going to be the same after this. Why? Because you are not going to settle. Don't settle for an orphan's reward. Hold your hands open like daughters of the Most High God, like a God who wants to make a feast before you and your enemy, like a God who wants to lavish you with gifts upon gifts upon gifts, like a God who will never, ever leave you or forsake you, even if you decide to walk away. I want you to wear this blessing like it's a new outfit, like it's a badge of honor. I want you to claim it, and I want you to declare it, because this is the way the church is going. You can look at the pandemic all you want, or you can look at the promise. The promise is yours for the taking. So I want you, ladies, wherever you are, get into a posture to receive this blessing, because I am declaring that you are not going to settle. In fact, you are going to refuse to settle and hold on to God the same way Jacob did. So get into whatever posture makes you feel comfortable. There's no shame and getting on your knees, putting your hands up, putting your head bowed, whatever it is that God tells you, listen. It's a prophetic gesture. God's putting you in a posture to receive. I hear God saying, I take this very seriously. He wants to anoint you. Hallelujah. I see women moving and getting into positions. Humble positions. And I'm reminded that the scripture says, for those who humble themselves will be exalted. As you humble, God does the exaltation. So hear this prayer. Holy Father, we thank you for this weekend. We thank you, God, that you are the God of the impossible. We thank you, God, that you meet us in our suffering, in the valley, the same way you meet us in our praise on the mountaintop. We thank you, God, that no woman was here by mistake. Every woman has a crown with their name on it. They are glorified because they call you Lord. God, we shame the devil right now and we tell him to go to hell because he doesn't belong where these ladies are. This is holy ground where they are. And we tell him that he doesn't belong in their hearts. He doesn't belong in their mind. He doesn't belong in their territory. This is your territory that you have claimed for them. And if there's any territory that the enemy is trying to take, we reclaim it in Jesus' name. These ladies are powerful. They have authority. They have the cloak of your praise on them because you have chose to give it to them. You are their chosen ones. You know them by name. And because of that, God, because of that relationship you have, you can bless them as you see fit. And you, right now, are going to bless them to have a hunger and thirst for righteousness. So that they can be filled. That they can not only be filled up, but that they can overflow into their families, into their workplaces, into their churches, into the lives of everyone that they encounter. God, this is your promise. And your word does not return to you void. So God, we thank you in advance for what we're going to see. We thank you, God, that this is not just the ending of something, but this is the beginning of something even greater. This is your marker moment. You're going to keep building and moving and refining and making things glorified for your good. So God, we thank you for this blessing. We thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Ladies, what an honor and privilege. Let's give God a hand clap. What an honor.